You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios for hour number three. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, you know what's interesting is when the Dobbs decision came out last year and overturned Roe, after all those years of people being in the trenches battling for life and, you know, and of course, abortion advocates battling for the opportunity to abort babies at will. This fight went on and on and on and on, and it finally came down to a decision that we believed had always been the case, was that there is no constitutional right to abortion. It is a matter for the states. And if you look at that 10th Amendment, oh my goodness, suddenly it came into play. The states do now have a right, under the most recent Dobbs decision, to enact the laws in accordance with the legislative intent and the will of the people of that state. And that's where we are, and Alabama is a decidedly pro-life state by law. I was proud to be in the Alabama State Senate for a number of years, and I was proud to be a very pro-life senator and sponsor several pieces of legislation myself. One of the people that I was proud to be able to interact with, to work with, to collaborate with on issues related to pro-life legislation is our next caller, Eric Johnston. He's an attorney out of Birmingham. He has an organization called the Southeast Law Institute. He's also been the founder and president of the Alabama Pro-Life Coalition. He has been in the trenches for years. And a brand new decision, as I prepared today's show, lo and behold, a brand new decision was just issued while we're on the air by the Alabama Supreme Court. And I'm going to let Eric Johnston come on now and give us the lay of the land. Eric Johnston, how are you doing, my friend?
Well, I'm doing well. Good court opinion today. Glad to be on and talk about it. And, I have been around working on this for a while, but not since 1872 when the Wrongful Death Act was passed. That was a little bit before my time.
Yeah. But you're old, but you're not that old, right?
That's right. But I've been involved with it, and in relation to the other laws that were implicated or discussed in this court decision. And I'll say for the lawyers who are listening, this Supreme Court did the right kind of application of statutory construction. And they did talk about underlying policy and the idea of unborn life and protection of personhood, but they approached it strictly on the proper way to interpret a statute, and that is always good to see your Supreme Court doing that. They leave it up to the legislature to make public policy, and that's basically what they did today. But they did talk at length about the meaning of unborn life and how it's protected by Alabama law. The basis for this, and of course, respect for life has gone back forever. Alabama did pass an Alabama constitutional amendment several years ago, voted on by the people, overwhelmingly approved, to recognize what we always did recognize, and that is the unborn child is a person within the meaning of the Constitution.
Yeah.
So you define person. When we passed the Alabama Human Life Protection Act a couple of years ago, we said that Alabama protects the unborn child as a person. We had hoped that that statute would go to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court would address personhood. Unfortunately, Mississippi got there first with what we call a 15-week statute that talked about viability. They didn't reach personhood, but they did send the issue back to the courts, which does allow states individually, I said back to the courts, back to the states, it allows the states individually to address the personhood issue. Today, what the court addressed was wrongful death. If you kill an unborn child, is that a wrongful death under the punitive statute, which allows damages? That's been bounced around a good bit in the last 40 years or so. Prior to that, it was not too much, even though that law was around for a long time. They also talked about the Brody Act, which is a criminal law that we have that protects unborn life. So we've got wrongful death, we've got the Brody Act, We've got the Human Life Protection Act. All three of those deal with unborn children, but they're all different. They all have different objectives, and they don't really fit together exactly. There was only one dissent in the case today of any merit. One of the justices kind of concurred and dissented, but Justice Cook dissented. And I think what he was trying to do was find, and I forget the word that he used, find comedy or relationship among the three laws that I've mentioned, wrongful death, the Brody Act, and the Human Life Protection Act. But you can't really do that. And the reason you can't do that is because they address different things, and they have different objectives and goals.
Mm.
But the case today, it's been going on for several years, and the lawyers that worked on it did a really good job, and they've been really committed to it. But what they're saying is that an unborn child, even in a petri dish, frozen, is entitled to the protection of life. If you intentionally or negligently or wantonly take that life, then you're responsible in damages. That's the goal, is to protect that unborn life in that context.
And to give the family now some recourse at that point, too.
It gives the family some recourse. Wrongful death is like someone runs a traffic light and runs into you and kills you, and your family can file a wrongful death action. It's the same thing here. The tech that was working in that particular department in the hospital picked up this frozen embryo and dropped it because it burned his hand. And when it dropped it, it shattered. Of course, that killed the child. So some people would say, well, you know, that's going a little bit far. How's that going to affect these other laws? Well, it doesn't really affect the other laws because it's got a different objective. As we said, it's for damages. The Brody Act was mentioned in here. The Brody Act was a law that got passed several years ago that dealt with the criminal law of taking a life. Until the Brody Act was passed, we had the old born alive rule from the common law, which meant before you could kill somebody and be charged with murder, they had to be born and alive. Embryology developed since the mid-1800s. That's about the time the various abortion laws were passed, because they began to realize that unborn children were an embryo, something in the mother's womb. Prior to that, they had the idea of quickening, where you could feel movement. And they didn't realize that there was something there before that. I mean, it was, you know, this was 200 years ago.
Yeah, it's been developing over time, certainly.
Oh, yeah. So the Brody Act, we passed it for the purpose of recognizing the unborn child could be the subject of a crime. And the genesis of it is two things. One is Lacey Peterson and her unborn child were killed out in San Francisco by Scott.
Yeah.
And so he was charged with double murder. At that time, we did not have that law in Alabama. And then there was a case down in Mobile where a state trooper was investigating an accident, and the pregnant mom standing on the side of the road was hit by a drunk driver, and it killed her and the baby. But it was only a single, you know, manslaughter charge, not the baby. That patrolman ran for the legislature, came up, and his purpose was to get a law passed to change that. So we changed the definition. Before you can charge someone with a crime, you have to know that there's something there. And so to do that, you got to have evidence in the womb. The same idea applies and the same definition is used in the Alabama Human Life Protection Act. We didn't say that, you know, the unborn child is somewhere else. We had to prove for the DA's purposes that the unborn child was in the womb when the abortion takes place. So before you can charge the abortionist with a crime, you got to prove that he aborted something. So the definition in both the Brody Act and the Human Life Protection Act are the fertilized egg implanted in the uterine wall. Now, the goal of that is totally different than wrongful death. Wrongful death, you can establish, even with the frozen embryo, that there's a person there and it's a damage claim. You don't have to have the DA trying to prove that someone committed a crime. You have a civil action versus a criminal action. So that's how those things kind of fit together. And you can't really make them all mesh exactly because they have different objectives. And I think, going back to what the court did today, they did a good job of realizing the Wrongful Death Act recognizes that the unborn child is even something that is not even in the womb.
Well, let me jump in here. We only got about 2 or 3 minutes left, and I'll be honest with you. I think as a litigator myself, and I typically do civil defense work as opposed to plaintiff's work. But I would imagine the plaintiff's bar looks at this and realizes, holy cow, this is a game changer. Because if you have an auto accident and there's a wrongful death claim for the person who dies, but the person was pregnant, you now have two wrongful death claims merged into one. Correct?
That's correct.
And you could even have, by the way, the pregnancy is terminated by the accident, but the mother survives. You could still have a wrongful death claim because the baby is now lost.
You can. And that law is evolved a little bit. It was not that long ago that Justice Gorman Houston improperly and wrongfully applied the Roe v. Wade analysis of viability to the Alabama wrongful death statute and said you could sue someone for the loss of an unborn life. It was not viable. But that, you know, Roe had nothing to do with civil damage claims.
Yeah.
That was changed a few years later, several years later, but just a few years back, I don't remember the exact year, to say that Roe doesn't apply, viability doesn't apply, an unborn child, you know, in utero is entitled to, you know, the family's entitled to damages. So what the court has done here is they've taken a closer look at the wrongful death statute and simply said, you know, it just says an unborn child. Unborn child is one that may be a frozen embryo.
So
we're just going by what the legislature did. If they don't like that definition, they need to change it.
So let me ask you this, Eric. I mean, you've been around this this fight for a lot of years. Are we the first state to go down this road of allowing wrongful death, even for the death of an embryo in a lab?
No, I don't think so. But I really, at this point, I have not had a chance to go back and look at it. We just got this opinion about a half hour ago.
I think I said during the break to you, I've not had a chance to read it. You said it's only 130 pages.
No, it's 131.
Oh, 131. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, you know, I've tried to read through it, but I don't have any facts or figures on that. I know that the in vitro thing has been an issue all along, and even when we passed the Human Life Protection Act, it came up, does this affect the in vitro fertilized eggs? And I said, well, no, it doesn't, because the definition follows the Brody Act definition, so the DA can prove that a crime has been committed. This is not a scientific test. This is proving a crime has been committed, and the only way you can do that is having an embryo in utero. So it's a different kind of thing that you're approaching.
Wow. Well, this is, I mean, I think, and by the way, we're about out of time here, but I think this is an opinion that is probably going to catch a few people off guard. But I also think that it's an opinion that firmly establishes where Alabama stands on the question of life in the womb. And granted, that Dobbs decision, we're seeing it acted out here. The states have the opportunity now to establish their own parameters on what is life.
That's right. In Alabama, we're going to continue in the Alabama legislature to protect life, and we're glad to see that we had an 8-1 decision today on this. So it was
absolutely
very good.
Hey, Eric, thanks for jumping in real quick and making yourself available to help unpack some of this, all right?
I am. Glad to be here. Thank you, Phil.
Thanks, Eric. Oh, my gosh. I'll tell you what, we're going to talk about this more when I get back. Eric gave us the nuts and bolts, all right? But as we move to the break, I'll just tell you, that the nuts and bolts are really not even quite what you might expect. When I break down the case itself after the break, you'll hear where this is. And this is, y'all, this is no small thing. Your state just took a monumental opportunity to step forward on the question of life. Wow. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.